Good evening, geeks and gamers, and welcome to the Mythicast, the podcast sponsored by Mythico Studios right here in Randolph, New Jersey, across the street from Sukasana. You may wonder why I say across the street from Sukasana every intro. Well, we still have a store in Sukasana. We moved. I'm your host, Father Time, and with me, as always, the tip of the spear and my buddy, Lord Mortis.
What's up, Father Time?
I did a little freestyle on the intro.
How'd it go?
Is it good?
I thought it worked pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I fall flat on that stuff.
No, that was good. Who else is here today?
The Sooch.
Sooch.
I'm here, and I'm excited to talk about the tower of boxes outside this door.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my. This is giving me little willies. I mean, how many boxes do you think are out there?
I saw quite a lot. Hundreds. Yeah,
it's hundreds of 30K boxes. We're doing this show from the pretty much from the warehouse. I'm not sure why, but here we are. So, boys, this is episode 68.
Yes.
Oh, crazy.
Good job.
Well done. Next episode will be fun, right? Because we have all kinds of bad jokes. This episode will not be fun because we don't have any. Is there anything associated with the number 68?
Not really. You have to save it because you're right on the cusp of the joke. So you can't
That's
make
true.
Any
I
yet.
Can't bring
you
it
you
up.
Gotta save
them. Well, I think we should start this episode with who does Sooch hate the most this week?
Well, that's a good point.
Right?
That's a good point because I think Matt has written you off at this point, hasn't he?
So Matt definitely.
He refuses to come on the show now.
Right. He's giving up. So who's the next hate victim? Who's going to get it next? Don't pick any of us.
I don't hate anyone.
Other than Matt?
Matt. Matt either.
I don't know. I thought D'Agostino, Mike would be a next one.
No, I don't hate him. No, he's too innocent.
Oh, he's an innocent dove,
yeah,
that Mike.
He's an innocent little guy.
Oh, my God. Mike is feeling all warm and cozy right now. Oh, well, give it some thought, and then by the end of the show, give us your most hated person. You think that's fair?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, so what are we talking about today, boys?
Well, we're going to get into some tournament action, I guess, aren't we?
Yeah, and the Mega Battle. Are you comfortable enough with knowing what the heck the Mega Battle is to talk about?
Me?
Yeah. No, that would be a no.
Absolutely.
I think Mega Battles, yeah, I can speak to a history of Mega Battles. I think we can talk about what we intend and then the eventual mosh pit.
Wow. Okay.
Actually,
so there you go.
Mega Battles. I think that's 10 to how
pretty
to
much
how
sums
it
up.
Okay. Good. So why don't we launch with the news?
All right.
So what do we have in the news today, Sooch?
All right. So this is a curveball, or maybe a little bit of curveball. So we're going to start with some Games Workshop news, but it's not models.
Oh,
it's not models this time. They have announced new paints.
Oh, yes.
What is the first time in a while? So they have new shades, which everyone loves the shades, right?
Yep.
You know, your Nolan Oil, your Agrax, your Sepia. So they have a couple new ones. The Mortarion Grime, Berserker Bloodshade, Croak Green, Poxwalker, Soulblight Gray, Targor Rage Shade. I like that one.
All right.
And then Tyran Blue.
Okay.
And then we have a bunch of new contrasts. They seem to really be doubling down on the contrast stuff.
Well, that's because of the Army Painter, and they have their new line of contrast paints. Everyone has it now.
Well, I also think I saw these articles too. I was pretty excited about it because they're very bright. They really went with almost a neon feel.
They look very vibrant.
Even with the washes. Yeah. The washes seem very vibrant, and that's cool because, you know, I remember, you know, painting along and you want to get some kind of a yellow pop on it, and the old washes just didn't do it, and then you end up like glazing and it's not the same.
And you know what that's going to look great on? Maybe a game that requires vibrant colors like Mythic Americas.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I thought when I saw those colors. I mean, it's Quetzalcoatl yellow.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. Awesome. There's Eldari Emerald, but that would be a great green to put on stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
Really like that.
I mean, it's all very much. It looks great, and it comes in a new rack. I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Love racks.
Got racks.
Save
upon
it
racks.
For episode 69.
Sorry,
come on.
Double entendre.
Yes. So that when did they announce a date?
I don't think so. I don't see a date yet here. But pretty soon. Usually when they announce things, it's usually about a month and a half.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know that's coming down the ordering process at the studios. I know that that's already been alerted in that process, so it's got to be a few weeks at most.
I haven't tried any of the contrast paints yet.
They're really good.
Yeah, yeah. I know people really like them.
Yeah.
I've been sticking to my old like school like primer, base coat, highlight.
Look, I think Nick painted all of those in contrast.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Right? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's pretty good stuff. I mean, I treat it as another tool in my toolbox, you know, and you don't just say, oh, I'm only going to do contrast paints, because then you're going to end up in like flat world, you know. They'll look good, but it doesn't have pop. But if you just say, you know, this is just another tool, it's another way for me to speed up my painting process, it's wonderful.
I think it's maybe a better way to get a base going.
Well, I mean, you can crank out an army in a couple of weeks.
Wow, those are really nice, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that amazing. He's done two of them like that. It's more than good enough for tournaments and you know, definitely playing on a weekly basis at the studio.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm sure it's going to win you a Golden Demon or anything, but that's not the purpose of that, right? The contrast is to get your army ready fast.
Yeah, it seems to succeed at that, and you know, it shows that a lot of other companies are kind of jumping on that contrast train, and they're coming out with more paints now. So I think maybe it'll be like a big shift in the kind of painting industry. You may see a lot of other companies kind of throw in for that similar contrast type of technical paint.
Yeah, and that contrast medium that they make pretty much allows all of any paint to become a contrast paint anyway. So,
I saw that too. Yeah.
I've never tried that.
Yeah,
actually.
Pretty much. Yeah,
no. I use the contrast medium as a highlighting device on after I've contrast painted.
Yeah,
but I've never tried making my own.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why Army Painter doesn't make a contrast primer.
Mm-hmm.
You just lay it straight on their primer, which actually their primer is really good for contrast paints because it's got that smoother finish.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of primer, real quick. You know what primer I really like that we carry here? The AK primers.
Awesome
stuff.
My
favorite, yeah.
By far the best.
It helps for me a lot because I do a lot of vehicles, like a lot of bolt action stuff, and they make all the like country base colors in the primer. So you get Russian green, Panzer gray, olive drab. Amazing.
Go so on. Does Vallejo.
Have you tried those
before?
I have not tried the Vallejo ones. I've just been doing the AK ones because once I kind of find something, I kind of stick with it. And American, especially Allied vehicles with the olive drab and then a brown wash, you're like pretty much done at that point.
Yeah. Yep. So those are actually really, really good. And just like the Vallejo, the quality of those primers is fantastic.
I have to check them out.
What else you got?
All right, some models. So here is Kings of War, which is a Mantic game. They've released another faction, Empire of Dust, which is kind of somewhere in between, almost like Tomb Kings.
I was wondering.
a little bit of some of those guys from Conquest, the undead kind of Roman guys. There's a little bit of that in there too, but mostly Tomb Kings. And, I mean, even if you don't play necessarily rank and flank game, armored skeletons are always useful.
Yeah.
You know, they got some shields and swords and spears.
What happened to that game? Because I remember it was super hot when Fantasy first exploded, when the old world ended, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still around.
I never got into it.
I've never played it. I played the rank and flank fantasy game like a long time ago, like 10, 12 years ago. I was like a teenager still, so I remember playing it a little bit then. It was popular. Kind of, it peaked in popularity, I think, when fantasy kind of went away for Age of Sigmar and there was a gap for a while. It's still around, though, and they still release stuff for it, and they did starter boxes not too long ago. I remember seeing them, yeah.
Yeah, people play it. I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I know there's the Ninth Age people buy it.
Yeah. Even back in, like, what is it, 8th Edition Fantasy, people used to buy the undead as proxies because they were pretty cheap. I remember that a long time ago.
Yeah. Now, that's it's good to see. Isn't that Alessio Cavatori who wrote that book, I think?
I think so, yeah. A lot of those guys went over to Mantic and did some stuff over there. And Mantic makes some interesting stuff. I used to see them a lot more at shows and then things like that. Maybe it's just because I haven't, like, really gone and specifically looked for their stuff in a while, but really cheap stuff, like really, really functional. I guess that's the way I would kind of describe it. It's very functional.
Yeah, a good value for your money.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. They had some terrain a while back. They had some modern combat figures that me and Kim bought to do this like little modern combat game we found online. And like it was all pretty good for that stuff, yeah.
Oh, you know, I have a piece of news.
What happened?
I saw Kim post something about dusting off his old 40K stuff. Is he playing 30K?
He's playing 30K. He actually sent me that on Discord. He posted some vehicles. He posted like a Sakaran and another tank with the Iron Warriors.
I'm like, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, we already planned something out, actually.
Oh, you did?
As soon as the stuff starts going, we're going to do, and then we're going to test it out ourselves first on weekday nights, and then we'll open it up for like an event. We're going to do small zone Mortalis games. That's what we kind of decided on.
Yeah.
To kind of teach the people the rules quick and to not overwhelm. Because I think that's, and that's something I've noticed, and it's something I want to avoid, where I see people try to jump into some Games Workshop stuff and they go for like the highest amount of difficulty immediately with like 20,000 figures, huge amount of points, and it's just too much.
Yeah.
We're going to do like that's five. That's
what happens to Father Time and I on 40K.
Yeah. All the time.
We go cross-eyed. Honestly, it's such a... Maybe because we're old, but it's such a discouraging thing. You just, you're like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't read this freaking book.
Again.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. It's tough, and I agree. And so we actually sat down and kind of discussed some plans for how to kind of put it out there in a digestible way. And we're going to do 500 to 800, maybe 1,000 if we get to that point. Point games of Zone Mortalis.
Okay.
And he owns that? So that is the indoor combat rules. There are special missions to fight. Essentially, it mimics like fighting in the underground or in a starship.
Oh, got it.
And Kim bought, and he repainted it really nice. He bought Death Ray Designs, makes an entire board for it, and he has it. And it's modular, and you can kind of like, it's all terrain that you kind of and match. Sure. Yeah. And it's really nice. And all the doors like open and stuff.
That's awesome.
And like you can move them all around.
So, is the rule set for Horus Heresy for 30K that dramatically different from 40K?
It's a 7th edition. 40K?
It's a 7th edition, yeah, yeah. So it's before they kind of simplified stuff for 8th and 9th.
So it's going back.
It's going back, but it's also different because now there's an entire reaction system and you can play on your opponent's turn. And
which is better.
That's better. Oh, yeah, that's definitely a step for the better. That's how most modern games kind of go now. It's probably still going to be. I mean, if anything's to go by, I mean, how I was used to playing it before, the Archmagos Dominus, right, your headquarters guy for your AdMech army, has 2 pages of rules he could buy. You know, like he's like a character. He's like a D&D character you could customize with all
that's
these crazy
cool,
stats. It's
conceptually
fun.
What they're thinking is
see,
nice.
It's fun for warband play, but when you have 700 models on the table and this one guy costs 250 points and has 18 special rules, you're like a little bit much. like scale matters a lot.
You know what's really cool, Suge? I can use all my old Space Marines.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, that's what they are.
Yep.
I mean, I know people are buying them even though they're the same as the old Space Marines because, like, a heavy bolter in 30K looks different than a heavy bolter in 40K.
Yeah, I'm not a stickler for that. But
no, but it's just still a heavy bolter, isn't it?
Correct, yeah, yeah.
The Rhino is exactly the same Rhino, isn't it?
It's a different model, but it's the same stats.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's cheap too, $39 or something.
I think it's on par with this current plastic.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, yeah, $39. I remember when I was like 10 years old. I think the Rhino was like $25.
I believe that.
I remember like being in a Dark Tower Games as like a 11-year-old with my neighbor, and for my birthday, he bought his like parents, I think, bought me like a Chaos Rhino, and it was $25.
That's awesome.
I know.
Did you buy the whole box set?
No, I had to get stuff like piecemeal when I was a little kid.
No, I mean now.
Oh, yeah, now, yeah, of course, yeah, 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 I have all that
stuff. Did you get yours already?
Yeah, it's on pre-order. I have to go next door and then finish everything up, but
okay,
we'll get to that later.
That's cool, man. So what else is going on 30K-wise?
30K-wise, so right now, we're kind of sitting around. Actually, you know what? It just popped in my head. There was big news, and it's actually something that made me happy because I was a little upset, I think, at first, but they announced the AdMech book. The Adeptus Mechanicus book for 30K is launching, I believe, around August.
Oh.
So we'll have a couple months.
One of those big black books?
Yeah, one of the big black books for the Mechanicum forces, which is my main army, actually. I wasn't even Space Marines, oddly enough. People were, you always play them to the Marines, right? And I was like, no, actually, I started with AdMech because it was like a weird faction. You look at those models, and they were like so weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know how Space Marines work, like what's this about, you know? And that's the army I played in Heresy for the longest time until I kind of started playing with some Space Marines, but then we stopped playing for a while. But I still have all the AdMech stuff, and I'm dying to use it either as an allied cohort for my Legion or as its own thing. And I'm definitely going to pick that book up as soon as it comes out because that was my main faction. In fact, my Space Marines are kind of a mess right now, and honestly, some of the box set I'll probably have to repurpose as more Night Lords. Just because everything's kind of random and thrown all over the place right now.
Did you see that they made 30K like one of the main games on the website?
I did, and
Like its own.
Yeah, it's got its own tab,
so to speak.
Now.
Yeah,
Part of, and I don't know this officially because I'm not in Games Workshop, but they seem to be wanting to take all of their brands and actually make them into like mainline products now. So they have their specialist games.
Yeah, see that.
They have the Heresy. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I see that.
No. Ooh, yeah, cigars. by the time just showed me this cigar order.
He's very into cigars. I guess like cigars are an entire hobby, right?
Oh yeah,
kind of really wanted is. To
definitely.
Yeah, I've seen at some places those guys who do the custom rolling of cigars. It's like really expensive.
There's a place here in Jersey that does that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, down the shore, down the shore. There's a cigar rolling place.
Hmm. Look at that! They did it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So they've taken the game, and I'm imagining that pretty soon they'll start transferring all of the models into, like, I know the Scouts are already, the Space Marine Scouts are already in this section of their website, in the 30K section of the website.
Oh, so they started kind of moving things over.
I'd imagine, why wouldn't you? Like, they remember they made only two plastic sets for these guys, and that was like the MK four,
the four and the three, yeah.
And the three, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, those are just regular Space Marines.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just have fancy armor on.
Yeah, they have a little spiky armor, mm-hmm. which is the old metal models.
Yep, they used to make those in metal in the 90s, I think. Yeah, a lot of the Horse Heresy models are, in fact, redos of old 90s, 80s, 90s stuff, with some new stuff thrown in, too.
The other exciting part, Such, I get to use all my... the Legions of Death, or whatever, the Legionnaires. Mm. Remember the ones with the skull faces?
Oh, Legion of the Damned, yeah.
Legion of the Damned. I have so many of those models.
They're great. Yeah, they used to have a whole army, and now I don't think they're in the game anymore.
They had a pamphlet in the White Dwarf. That's how you used it.
Okay.
Years ago, in the 90s. And yeah. There's a great novel. You know that the White Book series, there's a bunch of Space Marine novels that they put out, like 20 of these books. There's one that's just about the Legions of the Damned, which is really good, because that's the most lore that they have on the Legions of the Damned, pretty much anywhere in the universe.
Yeah, they were a thing for a while, and I know they're worth a lot of money now, but they redid the Legion of the Damned models, the Power Armor guys at least, not the Terminators, in the early 2000s for 4th edition. And now that's worth big money online.
I have all of those right there. cases of them.
Probably, yeah.
Because I wanted to do a whole Space Marine chapter of Legion of the Damned.
Yeah, they had their own stat line, too. And I think 5th edition, they're still around. And they could teleport
in. You can bring them in. That's when I used to play 40K.
Okay.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah, that was about...
1855 or something like that. Like a long time ago.
Still on the website. I would say I bought some, I think, as I was in middle school, maybe, or high school. But, yeah, I do remember those, and those were cool. And, yeah, you could definitely, I mean, use them in the Heresy, because they are the right size. I know the Legion of the Damned technically wasn't around in the Heresy, but they're nice models, so you could use them. Well, some people are, he's laughing, but some people treat the Heresy like it's a historical game, like it really happened, and you have to have all of your models.
But it did, Such. It did.
It might,
honestly.
Happen. It hasn't happened yet.
So what else do we have? I mean, I think that people should get the impression that if you stop playing 40K, because I understand why you would. I'm not criticizing it. I know I stopped playing because I just couldn't stand the fact that I had to play all these Primaris guys. But now, you know, you can sort of play 7th edition 40K under this new banner, and the models are beautiful. And, dude, when I tell you, we bought... I'm not going to tell you the number, because I'm probably not allowed to give you the number of a number of boxes that we bought, and we sold... every one of them.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's sold out online like instantly. I'm
gone.
Sure, yeah.
So there's lots of love for that game out there.
Oh yeah, yeah. People were waiting, and me included, we're just waiting for them to pull the trigger on that redo. We knew it was coming. Saw the leaks over a year and a half ago, I think those images leaked. So everyone was just ready for this announcement, ready to go.
Yeah. So what else you got, buddy?
All right. So actually, Paizo. So Starfinder actually is getting new minis.
Just talking about that. Why were we talking about Starfinder?
Why were we talking about Starfinder? Yeah.
I wonder if I was talking about it with Brian last night.
I've played it once at like a convention as like a demo game. It was interesting. It's Pathfinder sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we talked about it before, that Spelljammer's coming back now as D&D to kind of, I guess, put something up against it. But Starfinder's actually getting Masterclass minis done now, and they're going to be done through Archon Studios. And Archon actually, it was years ago now, pre-COVID, but was one of the companies that Kenny and I got to talk to at Gen Con.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were really, really nice. Those guys are awesome, and the stuff they're doing is really cool. It looks like right now they have some board games and stuff they put out. They had some cool minis lines, but that were only available through Kickstarter. And then once the Kickstarter fulfilled, that was it. They never went back up for sale. They had a really cool, if you look up the models, they were called Empire of Men. They're like a kind of a deathcore Krieg looking diesel punk crossover 40K models, but you can use them for other things. And actually the few of them that I have, I use for conflict sometimes as like counts as models, and they're really nice. I wish they were available outside that Kickstarter, but yeah, Archon makes some great stuff. And then it looks like these are going to be in resin, and no, actually these are going to be in plastic, high impact polystyrene. And they have about six guys are shown off so far. They look to be the kind of base races that are in the Starfinder book. And they look pretty good.
Cool.
These are renders, but I mean, I don't doubt that they will be fantastic.
Cool. So, what else?
So another small modeling release, but from a game that I remember. Actually, I saw you guys play a long time ago. Black Seas is getting some new ships.
Oh, cool. Is that the fantasy side of Black Seas? That's the Warlord Games one.
Warlord, yes. Yeah. They're getting the HMS Surprise, the HMS Agamemnon. I can say that word.
Good pronunciation. Good.
And the HMS Speedy. And they look pretty nice. I like the little... I've always liked the look of like old ships. I've never really done anything
beautiful
with
stuff.
Them.
Those are beautiful ships. Hard to build.
Yeah.
I've seen. They're almost kind of like an advanced model kit. You got to do all the sails,
well,
and the rigging.
The ships rigging. Themselves. It's the rigging that's hard. Yeah, but you don't have to do the rigging. They look pretty without the rigging. So,
I've seen some guys who have done the rigging at the shop, and it's amazing.
Amazing,
people,
right?
Like, symbols on the flags and all that stuff, and just really, really great stuff.
Yeah, it's a fun game, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun game.
We had a fun time when we were playing a bit of a campaign.
It was right before COVID, bro.
Right.
And COVID really killed our gaming.
Yeah, I know.
It was essentially a reset button. It's almost like everything that happened before COVID like didn't happen or is in some kind of like vague past that you can only like vaguely remember. And then there's just the now where it's like, oh, it's the new times.
I'll tell you a funny, weird, I went to the supermarket just before I came here because I wanted to get some, you know, big boy snacks because I'm like, fuck, man, this diet's going to kill me. So I go to there and I walk in and I don't ever like think about this stuff, but I haven't put on a mask since, you know, like whatever, I'm like quadruple vaccinated, whatever it is. So I'm like gallivanting around the world with this thing. But I, for the first time in a long time, and I come into the shop all the time, I never wear a mask here. I sort of had this feeling that I wanted to put on the mask, and I put it on, and it felt so strange. But it's only been a couple of months since like the mask requirements have gone away. It's such a bizarre, like, is it 2 years now? It's 2 years because that's when we were playing.
Yeah, it's 2 years.
God, I break out in sweats when I start thinking about all this cool stuff we were doing right before COVID.
I know.
That just sort of came to a halt.
That was the old store, too.
That was the old Sagasano store,
That was a lot of my projects fell victim to COVID, too. We were doing Conflict a whole bunch more. We were doing Spectre. That was a game we were playing.
We were doing Judge Dredd.
We just started doing that.
Yeah,
they had that whole city landscape set up.
Awesome.
So cool.
The resin cars just came out. We were playing with those. I remember that.
Yeah. So we were like, I was actually talking to Nick and Kenny about this just yesterday, because I'm like, we've been so busy. We've had, you know, our game is doing well. The stores are doing well. We've been so busy, like doing all this sort of kind of hobby but work related stuff, that the gaming experience, like even last week I said to you, like, guys, we got to come in here and just play Mythic Americas for the hell of having fun playing a game. Instead of like every time we play now, it's like, well, we got to test this unit or we got to do, and it's like you lose track of like the hanging out and playing, drinking, smoking cigars, just shooting the you know what, and just playing games.
Yeah, of course.
So we need to start that like soon.
Yeah, definitely.
It's crazy right now. We're not having any fun at all. So what else? What else do we have in the news otherwise?
All right. So actually, so this is something, and again, a perfect example. This is a game that we used to play a lot before COVID, and then not anymore now. But Necromunda, the Deluxe Spiker, their little like one of their little special characters.
Yeah.
Just
is that
got Forge announced.
World one?
This one, yeah, this will probably be Forge World.
We bought a bunch of Necromunda stuff.
Yeah,
didn't
we were kind of hoping you were going to train
us.
Yeah,
were you demo us?
Yeah, I can give you a demo. Yeah, I'd have to pick up the rule book again and go through it. It's been, I think 2019 was when we played our campaign.
Oh, really? Pick up the rule book because I have, I've always had Orlocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you bought the new Bug People, whatever those guys
are. Oh, awesome. The Ash Wasters. Yeah, they're gray looking.
Oh,
they're
and
so
you know
cool.
What I just ordered myself?
What?
The little train.
Oh, the train, yeah.
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Nice.
Yeah, they're coming.
You know, when you put it together, don't skip the directions and screw up with...
Thank you. Thanks.
Did you... Let me ask you...
Yes.
I got another question about that terrain.
Yeah.
Did you glue all the ladders and stuff on
there?
Oh, good, good.
No,
because it's supposed to be very modular.
It's not it's not that big a deal. For anybody who's bought this Necromunda set, I'm going to admit... So... That night, so I bought the Necromunda set, and I was really excited, and I go home, and I also, by coincidence, total coincidence, my wife's out with friends, and it's Friday night, and I get home, and I also had bought myself a new bottle of Amarone, Volpicello, right?
Oh.
And I love Amarone. I'm sitting there, and I get a cigar going, and my studio's all smoky, and I'm working, and this is a freaking big set of...
It's huge.
It's enormous.
It's so big.
There's so much in it. So there's one... There's one section, like everything's like, make two of these or three of those and four of these. And so I'm like, oh, they all look the same. I'm like three glasses deep into Amarone. So I'm like, that looks the same. So I built them all the same. And the only difference is like one tower is like an inch too short. And I have an extra piece. I'm not sure where that's going to go. But other than that, it looks freaking awesome. And the scenery is so sturdy. I know that because I dropped a piece and it didn't break. So yeah, it's... chuck full of stuff, dude. It's awesome.
So we need to next week.
Can we do that next week? Yeah.
Let me know. Let me know what the...
You know, a Necromunda night.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I could do Wednesday.
Because Wednesday's nice and
it's pretty
free
quiet
for me. Yeah.
Joe will be pissed. Evil will be like...
because we should be
this
playing...
This is AOS night.
Yeah. But he was here last night, though.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Necromunda next week.
And then the other thing they showed off is squats. More squats.
Oh, dude.
Keep showing off them squats. I know that's what people want.
Oh, I've seen some stuff behind the scenes that I have to show you.
Yeah, so
for the new squats. That's going to be incredible. That is going to blow the 40K world like apart.
So you know
in how cool it is.
What I'm interested in seeing, are they going to put them in Heresy? Because squats,
they were in Heresy.
Yeah, they were around that time. They were around. I don't know if they're going to do new lore if that changes that, but they could make an appearance in Heresy, too. We'll have to see.
Dude, a whole army book. A whole codex.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the first squats that they did that didn't look like the dwarves from AOS.
Oh, yeah. We were saying that before. They look a lot like the K-Drawn overlords.
Yeah, that's it. But these brand new, they look awesome.
They look way closer to the 90s ones. They even have those like little sunglasses, visors, which a lot of 90s models had.
That's going to be huge. We were just discussing our order for that stuff. That's going to be hugely popular.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Hell, I don't play 40K, and I'm like, I want to pick up one of those squads just to have it. I have old squads in that box.
Oh, the metal ones. Yeah, they go for a lot of money now too. Even the plastic ones. There's a few plastic ones they made way back in the day.
It's freaking crazy. Yeah, a lot of amazing stuff. I actually, as a gaming company, that, you know, we may be a tiny little gaming company, mom and pop and friends, as I call it. But I think at the end of the day, you have to sort of tip your hat to GW again.
Oh, of course.
Because, you know, they invented a game called 30K that they used to do in Forge World. And then they're like, well, what do we do with all those Space Marine regular size? Because, you know, you got this jackass like Nelson is complaining about not being able to use this. You know, there's millions of Nelsons out there. Well, guess what? We have all these kits. And we have this game called 30K. Wham! Solution. Genius. Yeah. Sold out. Thanks. Come again. That's literally what just happened.
It's amazing.
Pretty much, incredible. Yeah.
They have two 40Ks now, basically.
There's so many ideas that 30K is... I keep talking about 30K. But there's so many cool ideas I'd like to do. I'd love to do an Ultramarines army. I'd love to do World Eaters. And maybe if we stick it to just doing little war bands, maybe I could kind of do that.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. That's the trick, dude. Otherwise, it becomes overwhelming like 40K does.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out how to do this with all the crap we have going on with Mythic Americas. We have so much stuff happening.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I'm like, how am I going to do Necromunda, Age of Sigmar, all this other stuff? We have our new games. We have Junk. We have all the stuff that you're doing. I like to play the game that you wrote. We have Mythic Americas. We have new factions, Mythic Asia. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's a lot of stuff going on.
So for us, it's just got to be like, this is the side stuff that gives us that extra gaming flavor. But I can't get into 30K deep in. I don't have the time.
Yeah, same thing here. And even, again, kind of as we've gone on in the hobby, I've tended to go towards smaller games, warband games, games that maybe 30, 40 models aside at most. That's kind of where I'm like good at sitting. So we're going to really test out how well 30K plays as a warband game. And Kim and I are going to test it out with the rule books. And then if we need to tweak some stuff, we'll tweak it.
Yep.
And again, we're going to be doing mostly like Zone Mortalis stuff because he has that terrain. And I'm really looking forward to it. And Zone Mortalis is limited to infantry and things like dreadnoughts, like that size. There's no tanks. There's no aircraft. There's none of that stuff. So all you have to do is worry about infantry and like little walkers
yeah,
and
like
the robots for Admech.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I got one more thing. We can move on. They showed off some of the new models for Warcrow, Corvus Belli. And this is their kind of like infinity but fantasy. It's looking pretty good. Pretty good. This is the one they showed off recently.
Crow.
Yeah, Warcrow. I keep wanting to call it Warcry. Like the other game, it's called Warcrow. And I'm going to guess it's going to play a bit like Infinity. I don't know for sure, but they've been showing some stuff off for it, some concept art, some renders. Hmm. It's their kind of typical, very detailed, very dynamic poses.
Yeah.
I guess they're probably going to be in metal. It's interesting, though. And the only person I've really known that's been really into Corvus Belli has been my brother. I don't know if he still plays it now. I'd have to ask him. But it's a niche game. It still has a lot of people. I see a lot of people conventions.
Infinity?
For Infinity. Yeah. A lot of people conventions.
We had a couple of people who play it at the studio. I found the rule book, too. We talked about this before, but I found the rules way too in-depth for my brain, so... Those days are long gone. Like 25 years ago, maybe I'd be interested, but no, not now. All right, so that's the news. That's all we got?
That's the news. That's what we got for today.
Okay, cool. By the time, nice job.
Good job.
Well done.
Good job. Well, we're going to run a tournament, aren't we? So in spite of what I told you, Infinite Array, that we weren't going to run a tournament at Historicon, we are going to do it.
Yes.
Well, at least we're going to try. So we're trying to get some interest, and we figured that why not talk about MA on the or Mythic Americas on the tournament scene?
Yeah,
and more like how to build a tournament worthy army with your faction, because there's a lot of different levers to pull. Right, you have your ever living, ever changing, your magic, your not magic, you know, what faction are you going to take in? And so I figured, why not, let's chat about it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Plus, and you wrote a list.
Here's the reason for the tournament. I guess the tournament turnaround was that we had a few people ask if we were going to do a tournament on Facebook at Historicon. And we sort of waffled back and forth because we're already doing this mega battle, which we're going to talk about, and we're going to do this, a lot of stuff. And then somebody reached out to me via email and said, hey, are you guys doing a tournament? You have a booth. You're doing all this other stuff. And it is your game. You should have a tournament because we have all these other games that we're having tournaments for. So I'm like, that just freaking makes sense. And so our goal is to even if it's a small 10-man tournament, all the designers are going to be floating around, so we'll actually have the ability to have all the senior designers can can literally judge the game. And so we announced it. We have a couple of people already signed up, which I thought was great.
Excellent.
And we just announced it a couple of days ago. So it's a 1,000-point warband and includes all of the official warbands that are already on the mythicamericas.com website. That includes the Inuit. Now, I'm not sure because a lot of the Inuit have already shipped, especially all the metal guys. We're still waiting from the factory for a number of other reasons we discussed 2 weeks ago in the podcast on some of the resins. Resin's been a nightmare. So I'm not sure how many Inuit warbands that would be at the tournament since they'd be missing. They might not be getting this stuff with enough time to paint it beautifully. I mean, they might get it to paint it just to get it on the table. But the five current warbands, including Inuit, are welcome to join. 1,000 points.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's
so
gonna be
exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. So,
So what does it take to take a tournament worthy army?
Oh, I know. I've sort of given that a lot of thought. Because of the scenarios, it's difficult to like. And we write this crap, and I was sitting there trying to figure out the meta. And we've had a lot of people saying, "Oh, do this," and a horde army of just a high priest, and don't know, because you can so easily kill the sisters and, you know, kill the high priest for Pete's sake. It's hard to just make a zombie horde army or a Tlatkan bound dead, you know,
right.
horde army
yep.
to have it full, you know, effective. So I'm trying, I'm trying to list with the Aztecs that I think it's different with as minimum undead as I can squeeze in, but great. Some anyway, you know, lots of eagle warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of eagle warriors.
Well, I mean, is that really the meta? Archery or ranged attacks?
I think if there is one, it is around shooting because of the pin mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
just well, and the fact there's no counterattack.
There's really no way to avoid it.
Yeah.
So and that is still a big target of my, you know, next year 2024 to revisit that. That conversation, but yeah, for me, lots of I don't know how many units actually. So 1, 2, 3, 4 units of Eagle Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Are they 10-man units or five?
No,
man?
Just 5-man, and then
so it's MSU.
And a fifth unit with slings, and then the rest are a combination of Jaguar Warriors, and then the new unit that we haven't released yet,
the Hummingbirds.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then if I can sort of finagle, I might have to squeeze and get rid of some stuff. The IR, because I love the IR.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it won't be ready for the tournament, but I do think that if you approve it, that new warlord the new warlord character for the Aztecs would be an awesome way to lead this warband. Definitely gives it a very different flavor, which is great. And I put this list together and then I started thinking about how difficult would it be to do a Mythic Americas just historical version of the game? You know what I mean? Just the historical rule set that no magic, no monsters, no monstrosity, no mythology. I mean, and I know that sort of goes against the idea of the overall world. But I thought, you know what? This would be a great historical sort of rule set as well, because we have so many of these historically accurate minis, the 28mm, you know, warrior types. So anyway, but just having a lot of eagle warriors on the table just makes you think, oh, that'd be freaking awesome.
It would be. I'd definitely like to see how many arrows you can get out there. I'd definitely like to see too, in ranged heavy armies, whether players will go for kind of spam targeting one unit, essentially trying to pepper them with arrows to cause more casualties over pins, or if it's more of a pin game where you want to try to spread those out to get pins out there to prevent your opponent from activating. I'm really interested to see in a tournament setting how players would use mass ranged.
I think my experience from having watched all the games, having played the games, and putting this list together, where this lacks horrendously and where I think mass archery lists really suffer is, God forbid, you run into a Tribal Nations warband, or worse yet, nowadays, an Inuit warband. And the worst one yet would be the Maya. Because if the Maya get to this list,
they shred them.
Because you have no hand-to-hand ability to put a dent on the Maya. They'll just eat you alive. Because your archers aren't, I mean, they can hang in there, but they're not going to make it.
Yeah. I think one of the good counters for an archer heavy list is also a flying monstrosity.
Oh yeah.
I've gone out with a lot of archers and I've had that Quetzalcoatl or Thunderbird or whatever, you know, flying into my back line.
Yeah.
And now what are you shooting at? Mm-hmm. You know? Am I shooting at the monstrosity? Because that's really hard to hit.
Yeah.
And you know, do you even wound? I mean, you can go for the pin game, but now you're focusing all your fire on what your opponent wants you to focus on while he runs his, you know, Maya across the table.
I know. It's hard.
It's not a slam dunk, is all I'm saying.
I mean, I ran an Inca archer line, it was just a fun game with Joe, and he had 3 units of Sasquatches. And they basically got behind my...
that's ugly.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of wounds to go through.
Those Incas were just basically pinatas for the for the Sasquatch.
3 units of Sasquatch.
Oh, dude, it was awful.
Leave it to evil.
Yeah. Well, you know, with multiple wounds,
they
just go back there and they just devastate. I mean, you cannot pump out enough shooting to avoid at least one of those units just chewing you up. And so that's the list I've been working on. I'm not sure that it's competitive in a tournament play, but that was my only attempt. And having the High Priest in there made me think about the new Warlord option that mm-hmm. you guys were considering, mm-hmm. Because it allows you to do a totally different flavor of mm-hmm. the Aztecs, which I think would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Actually, so. Have a question for you guys, and maybe the audience at large. Since we've added wounds to the monstrosities and the monsters, have you guys found yourselves in lists taking more wounds, still sticking with single wound monsters, or do you go all in? Or is there a half measure where you're only buying maybe one, two extra wounds, not going the entire way?
I don't know. What do you think, Father Tom? The answer is pretty clear to me.
Well, I was going to vacillate, which is I'm great
typical.
At. no, because when we've played here, I've seen both sides. Like,
yeah.
B. Timms will, he's a point shaver. He doesn't want extra wounds. He'd rather have another unit than have extra wounds, which there's an argument.
Lots of good arguments for that, yes. too. Yeah.
And yet, I think more people are taking extra wounds, especially on favored units like a Sasquatch or the Marauders. I don't know if they're doing it as much with the monstrosities,
mm-hmm.
you know, but definitely on the monsters, which is interesting. I think that's cool.
I've seen kind of a combo. What I've been doing is going, adding one more monster with the extra wounds, not the full allotment of wounds, because that's just the right math to let the unit be survivable. And then if you're going to do that, you might as well get a second unit that does the same thing. Mm. And that's brutal. And that's what Joe was running with the Sasquatches.
Okay. So he wasn't bumping his wounds. He was adding models to act as
wounds. He would take one unit and bump the wounds and add a model. And then the other ones had extra models.
Okay.
So that spreads out that the pain. But that one core kind of leader unit, basically, with the extra wounds, it's tough to get to put down.
Oh, so yeah. He's using that as a distraction. So he's drawing all your fire and all your attention. And then meanwhile, the other units are just as filthy and running. That's very much an Evil Joe tactic.
It's a very Evil Joe practice, isn't it? yeah, but I think you're right. I mean, it's been a combo of that. The IR, the monstrosities, I just don't see myself ever going without at least an extra wound, that, you know, if not more, if I have the option.
Well, the thing is, I guess the reason I'm not going to pay for extra wounds, because they kind of have them built in. I mean,
they
when
do.
When we converted them over from the chart, we naturally were giving them more wounds and then giving you the option. Do you want to buy even more?
Yeah.
And, you know, something like an IR, it's really hard to justify paying for an extra wound on him, because he's...
Yeah, 33 points for an extra wound.
And you're not going to get through him anyway. Yeah. You're not going to get through what he has. But when you're talking about those flyers, which are, you know, they don't have the wounds. They're a little harder to shoot. It's mm-hmm. it's fun thinking of that balance. It might be worth taking an extra wound, and then you can just go... You know, fly that Kamazots into the back line and have a good time.
Well, I gave my IR an extra wound.
Did you?
Yeah. I
don't think you need it.
I don't think you need it either. I just, first of all, it is, I don't know why, it's just one of my favorite models in the entire game.
I have to say it. And it isn't even the model. It's one of my favorite
units.
Design spaces, yeah. units. Yeah, I just love what he does. I love the... You know, how he control board control,
yep.
you know, and just draws the attention, even if it's not worth it. You can't ignore it.
Yeah.
I love it.
The one thing I haven't done regularly, maybe Stuart, you can tell me about whether you've tried it, but IR and Quetz.
At the same time?
At the same time.
See, I haven't done that either. And honestly, it's interesting to see you always go for the IR, because I always go for the Quetzalcoatl.
That's
I
funny.
Always...
Why is that? Because of the magic?
Yes, because of the magic. And when I run an Aztec list, and this is actually something I want to ask you guys too, is I think a lot about the spells, and I try to have synergy with the units and the spells. I always try to make a lot of use of the High Priest, and every turn between the High Priest, between maybe unit Spider Sisters, and the Quetz getting three spells out there, having a decent amount of undead to kind of broadcast those spells out so you
yeah.
get as many targets as possible and get that armor, get that melee buff, because you can essentially force spells through with three casters. A lot of times when you're facing an opponent, you're going to have more spell casters than them. So if you're afraid, oh, I'm just going to get dispelled constantly, If you outnumber them by two spellcasters, you can force two spells off. If you outnumber them by one spellcaster, you force one spell off. So you can go into a game kind of knowing that, right? You go, all right, I'll get three spells. They have, let's say, one caster. If, you know, other factions can do two. But you can sit there and go, all right, I'm guaranteed a spell. I'm guaranteed a cast that they can't roll against. Where am I going to use that this turn? How can I get the most out of it, right? And with, especially with the Ketz, he's the, kind of the guy, if I know that I'm going to get Dispel rolled on at least once or twice, I'll save his spell for last, because paired with his movement and flight, you can get the widest kind of range for a spell.
Right.
And when you get either a Power Siphon or a Armor of the Gods off, you can make sure he's in the right position to get it on as many units as possible. And that's kind of a tactic I've tried to use over and over and over again. And it's a decent kind of maneuver, especially when you can just force a spell through. Because if you know you're going to take a hit, you may want to go with the armor spell. If you're setting up a charge, which if you're undead or already kind of mid-board, you're probably already preparing for as well. And if they haven't gone yet, you can get Ketz up there, throw that Power Siphon on them, and now zombies are like 8 strength on the charge.
Yeah, they're
pretty nasty. 5, yeah. 1 for charge, 2 for the spell. So you're hitting pretty hard. And then 9 on the leader's sword. And I've killed elite units with a zombie unit that charges with that power up, and it's like it's amazing to see them just like bowl through something.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. Like your
especially
little...
bigger units. Too. It's terrifying.
Yeah. But how much do you guys put into spells, and do you try to set up synergies like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if, especially with the Aztecs, the Incas as well. You know, like you really want to sort of the Oracle and the High Priest are so freaking. The anti-high priests are so good at helping those archers. I love the synergies of the Inca magic with those two units in particular. But when I play the Incas, I think about it much more than when I play the Aztecs. I play the Aztecs very differently because it's a lot of MSU. And it's a lot of trying to just sort of manage the objective game. Where the Incas, I feel a little bit more like if I can juice up those archers, it really kind of gets me through to the middle game because they're so good in the beginning. I mean, they're so freaking good. If you can get through the Inca archery early on, the Incas are going to be in trouble if they don't have enough hand-to-hand, you know, specialists. Because they're just not going to be able to hold up to anything that has any kind of punch.
Yeah, they're the ones that are especially vulnerable. That's what I was playing when Brian brought the Quetzalcoatl into my back line. I think, or no, he brought the Thunderbird. Thunderbird was, which is... tricky because people aren't, you know, haven't been exposed to the Thunderbird
yet. Yeah.
But that was not fun.
You know? No, not at all. Do you guys see, like, I it's funny, I was going through the process of rereading the lists. It's been about a month since I've actually sat down with the rule book and the lists and, like, really started thinking about it because of this Kickstarter project, the sort of special project that we've been working on. I've been assigned one sort of character type. So I've been kind of going back and forth now this past week to kind of just go back and delve deep into the lore. And that got me sort of going through the book and the, and then I was thinking about what the Western Federations is going to do. And I know we're talking about tournaments now, but what that's going to do, knowing what it's doing already on the playtesting table, I started thinking about, I better pick up my Tribal Nations again. Because I think they're going to be a great, strangely enough, I think they're going to be a great
counter
to the Western Federations. Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't sit here and tell you stats-wise why I'm thinking that. I think it's the freedom of movement and that they have. And I think just, I'm still convinced that it's probably one of the hardest lists, but it's just, and look, we wrote this thing, so it's hard for me, and that's why I'm looking forward to the shows. Sometimes it's hard for me to kind of sort of interpret the data from like sales or conversations that I've had based on the Tribal Nations. But I always feel like the Tribal Nations feel like the most complicated warband to learn. Is that fair?
Maybe it is. Yeah. They require a fair amount of experience to really get the most out of them.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're just standing there with Mohawk warriors who are naked and just getting mauled by Mayans or something like that.
A common mistake, because I've run a lot of demo games at the shop and elsewhere, when you have the Tribal Nations and the Aztecs kind of pitted against each other, a less experienced player will tend to kind of see all of these models and just think it's kind of a rank up and crash into each other yes. type of affair. Mm-hmm. And you'll see guys rank up Mohawk Warriors mm-hmm. and just run them forward. Mm-hmm. And they are good. I mean, hand-to-hand wise, they're a bit more skilled and then have a better weapon than the zombies. But the problem is you'll just run out quicker. Like, right. like attrition will right. just get you in the right. end every time. If I have 10 Mohawks and I run them into 10 zombies, if I get the charge, I'll probably kill a whole bunch of them. I might even kill the whole unit. But then I'm going to get countercharged. Yeah. I'm going to get countercharged, best case scenario, by just another 10-man zombie unit that doesn't have buffs.
Right.
If they have buffs, you're done. Like you have no chance at that point. The math is so poorly in your favor. And on that kind of charge you're going to take, you may lose your Mohawk Warrior unit or end up severely depleted with a bunch of pins. And they'll have a third zombie unit to throw at you.
Right.
Just that's the way the kind of points kind of work out.
I think there's 2 points that I want to make. One is that I think it's fair to say that in any Mythic Americas conflicts, when you have one unit go against another unit, that it's rare that either unit is going to be in any shape after that combat
yeah,
to do much
brutal.
More.
You're right.
Right? The combat is brutal. And the second thing is the focus on objectives. Don't focus on banging one unit into another. So if you see a guy with a big undead, start thinking objectives. Start thinking what's the main scenario and what is my secondary objective, because that's what's going to win the game. It's not going to be who you're killing, you know?
And likelihood is that big bound undead unit is going to be parking some objective anywhere.
Right.
Right? Right. I mean, that because that's what they're really good at. I was, again, going through the warband list, I was rediscovering. It's funny, we wrote this, right? And but the Tribal Nations was truly the first kind of, with the Aztecs, where they were the first warband that we really spent a lot of time in. And mm-hmm. I started looking at it, and I go, I can run almost an entire beast list.
I love the beast. We tried that so early on, and we're astounded at how well it ran.
Amazing. Yeah. Totally different play style. Different. And the Aztecs and the Tribal Nations have two very different play styles. And I think the Aztecs will have it even more so with the new unit that we'll announce and the new Warlord if it goes through. Mm. But I think the freaking beast list for the Tribal Nations is pretty awesome.
And when you talk about facing off against Western Fed, right? That
yep.
that particular list might be the one that does it, because Western Fed are so fast, you know, if all of a sudden they're being swamped by wolves with a bunch
wolves,
of Sasquatch
dude.
Coming behind them, or eagles.
Yeah, eagles
you know,
are
that's,
nasty,
that's
too.
That's a lot of fast,
yeah.
you know, stuff bearing down on you. And eagles are another good counter to your archery units, you know.
It is. No, absolutely. And you're too young. to remember this, but when I used to play Warhammer Fantasy all those years ago, you were probably like 2 years old. One of my favorite, so I used to play Bretonians and Vampire Counts. That's how I get my Lord Mortis nickname, and Wood Elves.
Okay,
because if you know anything about the lore from Warhammer Fantasy, the Wood Elves lived within the realm of Bretonia.
Yeah, okay.
So they were like allies, but not. They kind of hate each other because the elves hate everybody. So anyway, so I was such an enormously deep Warhammer Fantasy nerd that I played to the theme. So if I had Bretonians, I had to have a bunch of Wood Elves, right? So the Wood Elves, to me, play like the Tribal Nations, where like the Wood Elves had a lot of really good shooting. They're fast and fleet, yeah. but if you spin on them, they would crumble. But they also had really good counterpunch, hard-hitting units that can come in and mop up whatever the archers and
good supporting magic.
Exactly. Yes. Right. That's Tribal Nations all the way. Mm. And you were talking about synergies of magic.
Yeah.
With the Tribal Nations, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's funny. And I think it's, again, you see your game and then you see what people are gravitating to. And then you go, there's going to be a couple of players who are going to pick up the Tribal Nations and are going to go, yeah, this is going to be... They get the magic, they get the shooting, and they get the close combat beastie units all worked out, and they're going to be hard to beat, in my opinion.
So let's try a different tact. Let's say you're a Mayan player.
Yeah.
Right? You're setting up, you're looking at a massive horde on the other side, and you're looking at your seven drops, right? Because there's your mines are so expensive. How do you survive that?
Oh, I think that is you have to be so familiar with the primary and secondary scenarios. I honestly think that you can't afford to lose too many models. Mm-hmm. And so I think that battle report between you and Evil Joe was actually a really good example.
That was a good game, yeah.
It was a really tight game. But in the Maya, whenever they got punished was when they try to go, you know, when they try to go kind of like, oh, I'm Maya, I'm going to come in and kick your mm-hmm. face, right? It didn't work out for them. They have to like really focus on the objective. When Evil Joe started playing better was when he started realizing, oh, crap, I got to get my shapeshifters. I got to get my you know, Children of Chabalta going, like, you know, he really had to think about the objectives.
See, yeah, exactly. When he started playing for the objectives and not just to beat face, then he started doing well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when his roles stopped being so horrible.
Oh, well, my God.
But yeah, nobody can help him there, though.
Those were epic.
They were hilariously epic.
I think the Mayans do harken back to that old fantasy Warhammer time when the charges were what really mattered.
Almost like, you know? Chaos, weirdly mm-hmm. enough, like Khorne, right?
Yeah. You really have to control those charges. You don't want to be charged. You have to be the one dictating when the charges occur.
Because, that's true.
Because Mayans on the charge will pretty much shred anything.
And Mayan players, I notice, and maybe because the minis are more historic in a weird way and maybe less heroic or something, but they forget that they have good archers.
Oh, yeah. The Atalatls?
Yeah. Whew. I mean, that's basically what they are, right? And they're good, solid range shooters. Yeah. With you just need a couple of those units in a game, and they're pretty nasty. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious. It's one of the reasons I was curious about even just having the tournament. I don't care if it's four people that show up to this thing. You know, for me, again, it's not about the, you know, we're not looking to build 40K here. I'm curious to see how people are playing them. I see it on Facebook. I see people post. I mean, there was a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy who posted all his Eagle Warriors, and that looked amazing. And there was somebody who posted all his Tribal Nation stuff. And you could tell from what he's building what their play style is,
right?
You know, which I think is kind of cool. But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the tournament and then the mega battle. So we have the tournament at Historicon, and you can look for... I think the event is free. I'm not sure. But look at the Mythicos events website, and you'll see the Mythic Americas events at Historicon. So one is a tournament, and the other one is the Mega Battle, which goes on the entire convention, right?
Yep. So we got the Battle of Conestoga. We're still sticking with that name for all the time?
Yeah.
it reminds me because the road by my dad's house that's called Conestoga Trail.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So it always makes me think of that street.
Oh, there's a lot of Conestoga stuff here in the Northeast.
So it's going to be at the demo booth side of the Mythic Americas, the Mythico Studios booth. We're going to have a whole 10 by 20 section where we're just going to run demos. The guys from Warlord and gals from Warlord are going to be there because they're going to be running our Mythico Studios, the first qualifier for the Nationals, because Mythico Studios is going to be running the Bolt Action Nationals moving forward. And so they're going to be there to do that, and they're going to run some demos. And then we're going to have four by 12 tables full of scenery and warbands for the Mega Battle.
Yep. And I know our plan right now is to do some objective-based stuff. I await the mosh pit, though. You know it's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
It's just the big ranks that are going to form, and then everyone's just going to crash into each other. Yeah, it's going to be a big.
And there's going to be one guy who's going to be running around collecting all of the prices that are under, because there's going to be prices under the objectives. So on the table, there's going to be objectives, and then under each objective, there's going to be a number. And attached to the number is going to be a prize.
Oh, okay.
So all the mosh pit guys are going to miss out. I'm the one guy who's going around picking up all the objectives. So I'm kind of, again, I'm looking forward to that, even if it's just to see a bunch of warbands on the table.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see that.
And Historicon is kind of our big test. This is our first show that we're really, I guess, I don't know, how would you describe it by the time? We're kind of kicking the tires, testing the machine that we're trying to put together to do the shows moving forward, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you got to kind of shake the rust off. That's the wrong cliche. We're just testing, you know, ideas that we have for how we want to do the booths, how we want to run events and things like that. But no matter how it runs, it's all going to be fun.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, man, it's fast approaching. So, well, and I also wanted to take a moment to plug Such's Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, good point.
First of all, congrats. Thanks. You have reached your goal on the Kickstarter.
Funded. Yes, it's fully funded. Yes.
It's fully funded. Well done, and I think everybody should support the Such. And what's the name of your game, Such?
It's called Crystallum Conflict in the Far Future.
There you go.
And that's C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-L-U-M.
Yeah, right. Go check it out. It's actually pretty cool. Lots of choices. And that's our very own Such with his first Kickstarter and a successful one at that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so congrats on that, dude. All right, this is going to be, it's our typical 1 hour. I want to kind of start asking people on Facebook to start sharing their kind of warband building experiences. Mm-hmm. And maybe Such, you can lead that effort and see if you can post a question out there.
Definitely.
On Discord, and let's just start collecting. I'd love to start getting, like, I don't want to call it data, but maybe a collection of data points from how people are building their warbands and what they're finding effective or ineffective. Mm-hmm. Because that would be a really good thing to have for like the winter when we sit down to do an overview of the war bands and what we've done so far.
Right, and the next factions to be planned.
Yep, exactly. So that'll be a good time too as we go into updating the rules and all that other good stuff. So Mythic America's Warlords of Erewhon has two events, and then we have a Jersey Devil at Historic and Painting Contest, so you can bring your Mythic Americas or Historical. All the stuff is on the Mythicos events website and on the HMGS website, so you can see those. And then we have the Bolt Action Nationals, and what else we have? Oh, and we're sponsoring Hobby University this year. That's our big thing. So we stepped up to volunteer to run Hobby U at HMGS's Historic on this year, so we'll be all over the show. I think it'd be fun. So Eric is coming down full time to help us. Yep. And awesome. So is Parker. Joe's coming down on Saturday. You're coming down. I know you're coming down. I'm coming down for the duration of the show. And then we have Will and Calissa from Warlord to help out with the Bolt Action stuff. So it's a huge Mythico Studios crew over at the Historicon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be fun.
And I know Matt said he's coming. Who else is going? Mike is coming. Brian might be coming.
Yeah.
Both Brians might be coming. Yeah. So it'd be freaking full house. Such, anything else, Bubba?
I think we're good for now. I definitely have some ideas and stuff in the Mega Battle, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm telling you, and having spoken to the illustrators today, I'm so stoked for this new book.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Keep it under wraps.
I know, but I'm so psyched. All right, everybody. We'll catch you in 2 weeks.
All right. Take care.